Luke 15:1. Then drew near unto him, talking about Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Aren't you glad you can get near him no matter how messed up you are? And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. You know why? Because that's what they do. They murmur. Saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That was their indictment against my Lord. That was their indictment against your Lord. They thought that they were ridiculing him. They thought they were putting him down, and they thought they were cutting him when they said this. Almost with a haughty attitude with their nose up. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Before I preach, can I just clear me off a spot and say, thank God that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Thank God that he cares about you and me. Thank God that an old, dirty, nobody, good for nothing, wore out with life, backslid, heathen goat can come to Jesus, and Jesus will have mercy, and Jesus will have compassion, that the rest of that crowd that's looking down on the messed up crowd don't know how messed up they are. Whatsoever measure you meet, the same shall be measured to you again. Be careful what you say. And so, what you need to understand, I know you know this, I'm going to tell you like I told you last night, I'm not going to tell you anything you ain't never heard before. But I want to tell you this, Luke chapter 15, the whole chapter, is nothing more than Jesus' response to the indictment. This man receiveth sinners. Everything else in Luke 15 is Jesus' response to the indictment. You know the story. He spake a parable saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that one which is lost till he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders and rejoiceth. He cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver? In other words, Jesus is saying, this man receiveth sinners, Jesus is saying, yeah. That's what Luke 15, we could have summed it up with him going, yeah. And? That's what Luke 15 is. What woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, seek diligent till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, saying to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Let me just say this while we're at this verse. The Bible does not teach that angels rejoice when somebody gets saved. It said there's rejoicing in the presence of angels. It ain't angels getting excited about you getting saved. It's God's excited you got saved. Amen. Big difference. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them unto his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father, bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, act like he didn't even hear him. Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Now I want you to hear everything I say tonight. Don't take a piece of what I say. Hear everything I say tonight. The Holy Ghost sent me over here tonight to tell you what I'm about to tell you. There ain't a doubt in my mind. I wouldn't say that if I didn't believe it and I didn't mean it. Our Father, I want you to help us tonight. Lord, help me to say what the Scripture says. Nothing more, nothing less. I don't want to add nothing to it. Don't want to take nothing away from it. But here's what I ask you to do, Lord. Everybody in these pews tonight, when we walk out of these doors, would we know that it is good to be in the Father's house? Then God will thank you for what you do tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing and thank you for your patience. I'll preach tonight with the help of the Lord on this thought. What the devil did not tell the prodigal son about the far country? What the devil did not tell the prodigal son about the far country? There's no doubt in my mind. Now, I don't think that this boy had Facebook. I don't know, but I don't think he did. I don't think he had a cell phone, a computer, social media. I don't even think they had mail running back then. I don't know how this boy found out what was going on away from the father's house, but somehow or another the devil made sure that he heard that there were some things going on outside of the church that he was missing out on because he was stuck in that old fuddy-duddy, old-time, dry, dusty religion thing. And he was missing out on all that the world had to offer. And I don't know if somebody sent him a message. I don't know how he heard. But can I tell you, the devil will make sure, I don't care if you're 90 or 9, the devil will tell you that you're missing out from being at church tonight. He'll tell you you're missing out on the goodness and the good things of life because you tithe or because you give. He'll paint a picture of what you don't have and tell you that you're missing out on something because of what you do for God. Can I tell you the devil's a liar and the father of lies? There ain't nothing out there for us. There ain't nothing out there for you. Everything you need is right here in the Father's house. Everything you need. Somehow, the devil convinced this boy he'd be better off out there than in here. I don't know how he did it. But I'll be honest with you. I've watched it happen time after time after time after time. And I want you to look at me tonight. And I'm as kind as I can tell you this. There ain't one of us. I said there ain't one of us that's exempt from ending up in the far country. I'm going to say it again. Preacher, people talk to me like they think ain't nothing happened to them sometimes. Well, it grieves my soul. Everybody in this room is made out of the exact same thing.
and it's altogether filthy, it's altogether ungodly, it's altogether unholy, and it's altogether unclean. Only good thing about you is Jesus. Only good thing about me is Jesus. Only thing we can boast in is Jesus. Only thing we can look to is Jesus. But I want to tell you, how in the world did the devil trick this boy into thinking there was something out there for him? There's some things when the devil was describing the far country and the fun and the joy and the good time. There's some things the devil left out that he did not tell him before he took off. And so, I want to tell you, I want to tell me, and I want to remind myself before I venture out into the far country. There's some things the devil will not tell you about going to the far country. Number one, the devil will not tell you about the vices of the far country. Verse 13, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, you know what the devil won't tell you? He'll say, looky there, you can have a little bit of that, but it never does satisfy. He spent everything he had trying to get that feeling one more time. I've got a brother and I wish you'd pray for him. His name is Brian Burton. He's been on, preacher, and I'd say this to him, I say it anywhere. He's been on drugs from the time we was kids. He's 51 years old. He's a cocaine addict. He's a heroin addict. Anything he can get his hands on. And he's been like this forever, his whole life. And you know what he told me one time? He said, this new stuff they got, he said, this new meth, he said, back in the day, he said, we'd mix stuff up. He said, but they got a new meth. Here was his exact words to me. He said, the first time that you smoke this stuff, he said, the very first time you smoke, this is his words. He said, it takes your soul out of you. He said, it takes your soul. He said, Robin, he said, I've spent the last 20 years spending every dime I can get my hands on. He'll steal, he'll lie, he'll rob to get money. He said, trying to get that feeling that I had the very first time that I did it, and I cannot get that feeling back. And he spins and spins and lies and lies, but the devil won't tell you that. He'll show everybody over there with the little Budweiser in a bikini. He'll show everybody shooting pool, having a good time, but he will not tell you that world will take your soul. That far country will rip your soul out of you. The devil won't tell you that part. He ain't going to tell you about that. The vices of the far country. I am from what I understand, from what I know, from what I've been told by my family, I'm about an eighth generation drunk. My granddaddy, his daddy, his daddy, his daddy, his daddy, his daddy was all drunks. I got saved 1996. 1997, my granddaddy was bad sick. He's eat up with emphysema. And he's eat up with his liver, cirrhosis of the liver, liver poison. I remember going to Delaware to see him every summer. I'd go spend time with my granddad. He's my hero, Buzz Faulkner. He's an iron worker. He had hands the size of lunch boxes. He's about my height, bald headed. I get my hair from him. Good looking hair. I got a picture of him in my briefcase that I take when I go preach, and I think about him before I go preach. I drove up to see him. He was on one of them nebulizers. He's at home breathing. I drove all the way up to Delaware. I was praying, God, send a soul winner by to win my granddaddy to God. Send somebody by to reach my granddaddy. Send somebody by to tell him that Jesus loves him. And I was halfway up there going to see him, and the Holy Ghost said, I'm sending somebody. Now, you don't understand. Buzz Faulkner was a man. Didn't put up with no junk. Didn't play no games. Straight shooter. I sat down with him in his little old house. They had a house out there off the cove in Delaware. I sat down. I said, Granddaddy, I said, did you ever go to church when you was younger? Because I didn't know how to start the conversation with him. I hadn't been saved long. I was trying to talk to him. I said, Granddaddy, did you ever go to church when you was younger? Brother Ken, I'll never forget this as long as I live. He turned and he had that nebulizer in his mouth and he took it out. He said, boy, I know all about God. I want to know. And turned back around and put that nebulizer in his mouth. And that was it. I stayed another day. I drove home. I think I was home for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and my mama called me. She said, Daddy died this morning. She's all tore up. And I'm going to tell you, I'm still not over it. I try not to even think about it or talk about it much. But every one of his children, my Uncle Mark died with a heart attack, 41 years old, and drinking and smoking. Had another son, his name was Norman. He died in a fiery car crash, a drunk. My Uncle Billy died in Newport Richey, Florida. Left a bar one night, run into the back of a trash truck, cleaning the streets up. Instantly killed. I got another uncle, his name's Kurt. He's still alive, but barely. He's been in and out of prison, in and out of jail. He can't get off alcohol. He can't get off dope. Everybody in my family is tied to some kind of alcohol or some kind of drugs or some kind of dope. Don't you think for one second just because you're a Christian? Don't you think just one second just because you're saved? Don't you think for one second just because you know the gospel that that stuff can't grab a hold of you? And it don't take but one time. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it don't take but one time for that stuff to get a hold of you, and it'll tie you up, and it'll never let you go. It'll never let you go. You know what when I was driving up to see my granddaddy, Billy had gotten killed the year before. And when I was driving up there, I'm not trying to be weird. I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm not trying to scare you. But preacher, I could hear my Uncle Billy screaming out of hell saying, go tell Daddy, don't come here. Go tell Daddy, don't come here. I'm telling you it's real, and the vices in this world taking more people to hell because they think they're better than that. None of us are better than that. The devil will not tell you about the vices of the far country. Hey, do you dabble in sin thinking you can handle it? Do you explain it away? Well, I deserve this. The devil won't tell you about the vices of the far country. Number two, the devil will not tell you about the vultures of the far country. Verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Did you know that the devil has somebody out there waiting on you? I ain't got no problem believing this. I guarantee you, everybody in this room, everybody in church anywhere tonight that knows the Lord, that's a Christian, I guarantee you the devil has somebody with your poison waiting on you when you go to the far country. There's a vulture out there waiting to attack you, waiting to get gain off of you, waiting to destroy your life, waiting to attach to you. I promise you there are vultures, and they do nothing but circle around and hover around looking, seeking whom they're going to devour. Don't you be the one. Somebody's waiting on you to catch you out there to grab hold of you and not let you go. It blow your mind how wicked the devil is and how wicked this world is and how wicked people are. I don't make no apologies for sheltering my family. I don't take no apologies for sheltering my kids. This world is a wicked, wicked, wicked place, and there's vultures that want to destroy your life waiting on you when you get out in that far country. Those vultures, they're waiting on you. Brother Ken, we go to Albania. We went up north, me and John Dorsey, Josh Phillips, and a couple other guys. We went up north Albania. And I heard stories, and you know how people embellish stories. Well, I found out this wasn't no embellishment. There's a place up in northern Albania that they found that there's just thousands of body parts out in the field. And they began to investigate to find out what was going on. Come to find out, the Italian mafia had a camp up in northern Albania in Tripoli. And they would catch people, and they told us, don't be caught in northern Albania, Jamie, you know, don't be caught in northern Albania at night by yourself. You will disappear. And what they would do, they would hijack these people, and they would take them and they would harvest organs for the rich people in Italy that didn't want to get on organ donor lists. They would kidnap people, and they would take 5 or 10, and they'd kill them all to find a match for a liver or a kidney. Or whatever they needed, and they just leave these people out there to die. Just so somebody else can live. Well, I got news for you. When you travel on the roads at night where you should not be, there are vultures waiting to cut your heart out and to cut your soul out and to attach to you and to never let you go. The devil will not tell you about all those things. He won't tell you about it. He won't tell you about those vultures out there. Can I go ahead and tell you this is going to get better before it gets worse? The vultures of the far country. You say, preacher, why in the world would you preach this on Wednesday night to a good church? Because I'm going to tell you something. It's blown my mind in my life. The people that sit in my church that's already out in the far country, their feet just ain't made it there yet. It'd blow your mind if you knew tonight how many people were sitting in this room looking at me or not looking at me. And your heart's already gone. You just ain't found the courage to leave yet. The devil won't tell you what's waiting on you out there. I want you to look at the victims of the far country. This boy left a trail of confusion. He left a trail of trouble. He left a trail of foolishness behind him that people never will get over. I had a preacher in our church, Michael Arant. He went and pastored for 4 or 5 years. And he was in prison for 9 years for shooting a man. He tried to kill him, but the boy hit the shotgun on a bad drug deal. The boy hits the shotgun and ended up shooting him in the thighs. Went to prison for 9 years for attempted murder. He got out. He come to our church. He got saved. Michael Arant was on fire. He was a preaching machine. But he went back to the town to where he got in trouble at to take a church. And he was there for about 2 years and he was doing great. And he ran into the guy that he shot. And the guy was wanting to buy a truck from Michael. And he didn't have enough money and he gave Michael $1,000. He said, I got $1,000, I ain't got any more cash. He said, but I got an 8-ball of cocaine. He said, well, you take that and you sell it and you get the rest of your money. Who would even consider that? But he did. Well, instead of taking it and selling it, he knocked a little chunk off of it. And the rest is history. 2 years. And right now, I can't even tell you. I know, I guess y'all record this stuff. I'm not going to tell you, but I can't even tell you. His wife's in our church now, a widow woman. His little babies, we buy them Christmas. We take care of them. We buy their clothes. We feed them. We give her a job. But he's got a teenage girl tonight, 17 years old. And if God don't, and she's a good girl, but if God don't do something with her bitterness, she'll not make it. She's so hurt. The devil won't tell you about the victims that you leave behind in the far country. He won't tell you that. He won't tell you how people get hurt. He won't tell you how people's lives get destroyed. He won't tell you none of that. I'm trying to tell you what the devil won't tell you about the far country. He won't tell you about the vexing of the far country. Preacher, I know human nature because I got one. This boy comes home. I'm no more worthy to be called son. And his daddy throws him a party. I mean, they do it up big. And I mean, I'm sure they had a shindig. But I run my mind through this. I really did. I put this together a couple years ago and I run my mind through it. The day after the party, when the boy woke back up in his own bedroom again for the first time, Dad's forgiven him. Everything's good. It's all right. I bet you a Bible. I'm not a betting man, but I bet you a Bible. He never got over it. You know what the bad thing about the far country is? God will get over it. And everybody around you will get over it. And everybody around you will love you. And everybody around you will help you. But if you go to the far country, you'll never get over it. You'll never get over it. The devil won't tell you about the vices of the far country. He won't tell you about the vultures of the far country. He won't tell you about the victims of the far country. He won't tell you about the vexing of the far country. But you know what else he won't tell you? He won't tell you about the victory from the far country. Oh, y'all done forgot what we was talking about. Hadn't you? I told you at the beginning, don't forget what we're talking about. What are we talking about? We're talking about the indictment that this man received the sinners. You know what the devil won't tell you? The devil will not tell you that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. The devil will not tell you that the Father is still where He was when you left Him. The devil will not tell you, although you've lost it all, although you've wasted it all, although you've gave it all away, although your heart's broke and your mind is vexed, he will not tell you the truth about what's going on at the Father's house. Why? Because he wants you stuck in that place and he never wants you to feel at home anymore. But I've got news for you tonight, and I've got news for anybody who'll listen, and I've got news for all of hell, and I've got news for every devil in hell. The Father received that boy back home to his house. The Father, hey, you know what blows my mind? The boy went to his daddy and said, give me everything that's mine. Yes. Did he not? Yes. And he gave them all their living. The boy went and wasted everything that was his until he had nothing. And then he gets back to the Father's house only to find out that the Father had more to give him. The reception of the Father. The Father received that boy back home, no questions asked. Devil ain't gonna tell you that. The rejoicing of the Father. He threw a party. Big party. Great big party. Ticked a couple of people off about it. Ain't that funny how people get mad when the Father rejoices and receives and helps? Hey, don't worry about who likes it. Don't worry about who don't like it. Thank God that the Father is still in the Father's house and He'll take you back if you'll come. But the thing that got me more than anything was the restoring at the Father's house. Bible said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Get him the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his face. Wait a minute. I thought he got everything that was his. Turns out the Father's got stuff you don't even know he had. Turns out he's not stingy with it because he loves his youngins. Turns out, oh Lord, turns out the Father already had planned provision for if this did happen. He had some in reserve, preacher.
because He knows our frame, that we are but dust. You know what the devil ain't going to tell you? He ain't going to tell you about the victory at the Father's house. Tonight is a warning. And tonight is a witness. I don't know how many people's in here tonight. It's a good 300, I'd imagine. Out of a crowd this size, I wonder how many of you is visiting the far country, but you just ain't had the courage to go yet. Can I throw up a red flag and say, don't go? The devil hadn't showed you all of what you're looking at yet. He's hiding some of it from you. And maybe somebody's in here and you're in the far country, but you and God's the only one that knows it. Why don't you hurry back down to the Father's house and let Him give you what'll really satisfy you. He's got everything you need. That's what the devil does. He tells you, you don't have what you need, you don't have what you deserve. God's got everything you need. And God will give it to you. I heard the story, and I'm sure y'all have heard it. Little boy left home, teenage boy left home. He got out of line with his mama and daddy, and he cussed his mama and pushed her. His daddy come to him, he said, son, that's it. You ain't doing this. You're not going to live like that here. And he left the house mad. He went away. And he's sitting on a train, and he'd been gone for 2.5 years, and he decided he wanted to try to come home and make things right with his mom and daddy. But he knew how his daddy was. He knew his daddy was a stern man, and he knew he'd messed up. And he got on a train. He was riding back on the train. There's an old preacher sitting there, and he's talking to the preacher. And he told the preacher, he said, will you pray for me? He said, I want to try to go back home. He said, but I don't know if my mom and daddy will have me. He said, I mistreated them the whole time I was at home. He said, I cussed my mama last time I saw her. I pushed her, and my daddy, I thought he was going to kill me, but he run me off. He said, I wrote him a letter and told him I was going to catch this train. He said, the train's going to go by our house. He said, and I wrote a letter and told him, if you'll tie a white handkerchief in that apple tree in front of the house, I'll get off the train. But if I ride by the house and I don't see the white handkerchief in the tree, I'll just keep on riding. He said, preacher, I can't even look. And he's riding down them railroad tracks. And the boy had his head in his hands. He just knew that they didn't want him back. Old preacher got to laughing, then he got to crying, then he got to shout. And he said, what is it, preacher? He said, son, I don't think you got anything to worry about. He said, that tree looks like it's blooming. He said, it's got 100 white handkerchiefs tied in it. Don't you ever let the devil, I don't care who you are, and I don't care what's happened to you, don't you ever let the devil tell you that God's run out of mercy for you. Don't you ever let the devil tell you that God's done with you and God's finished with you. God will help you. God will help you. Don't go. But if you do go, come back. The devil won't tell you the truth about none of these things. Lord, help your people tonight. Help this church. Help me. Lord, those that think we stand, oh God, let us take heed lest we fall. Father, remind us how serious this business of the far country is. There's things out there the devil didn't tell us. Let us stay close to You. Let us stay humble. God, protect us all. Give courage to those that need it. And we'll thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand up with me, preacher. You come.